Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? We have no financial relationships or other things to disclose. I'm from Iceland in Europe, in case you're thinking about the accent, which is always the case. And I'm really here to present the work of my colleague and first author, Dr. Michael Mann, who is the principal author of this scale and the idealist behind it. I also want to acknowledge Megan Smith, who's a PhD student in our program and has been helping us with data collection and various other things. What fascinated me about this idea and the original building of this tool is that Dr. Mann's experience is primarily from practice. He has over 20 years experience of working out in the field in community health promotion programs and in schools, particularly with disadvantaged middle schools and youth. And I've been a part of neighborhood and school level prevention health promotion programs, particularly with substance use prevention in my home country and in throughout the Nordic countries. And it's always fascinated me how different in many ways practice in that sense is from research. So whenever I go to halls like these that are filled with parents or people who work in practice, the questions are different, they're more direct, they're more, of course, they're less concerned with generalizability and the scientific aspect of what's going on, but they're always very, very focused on what's actually happening now with our children. And so the awakening of this tool is kind of resonated with me as strongly related to practice-based work. So I'm going to try to do his and our work some fair presentation here. So a little bit of background. In 2012, the Institute of Medicine issued a challenge to move beyond the traditional frameworks and measures by which community-based prevention efforts can be assessed and valued. This challenge focused on developing new ways to measure previously neglected dimensions of community health and well-being. Although community-based researchers routinely measure traditional health outcomes, most have failed to assess more broadly defined dimensions of community well-being and the processes that promote community action. In part, this failure is due to a critical gap in the literature that related to the availability of valid and reliable instruments, measurement instruments, that assess these broader individual and community characteristics. So, the idea behind the community engagement scale is that it's designed to measure and predict individual and community levels of participation in activities that we know will promote community health, well-being, and success. It is conceptualized as an essential element of bonding social capital from the public health and health promotion literature. And we appreciate that there's a lot of discussion and people have different ideas about what really social capital constitutes, and we're going to try to stay away from that here. The description of a community-engaged individual, in our terms, is that community-engaged citizens are committed to and actively engaged in promoting the well-being and success of their community, including both solving problems that diminish or threaten community welfare and advocating for efforts intended to enhance the positive dimensions of community wellness. According to Schretzer and Woolcock, the bonding social capital refers to the ties between similar individuals and groups. Theoretically, the bonding dimension of social capital connects the members of a community and enables those community members to pool resources and/or work together to solve group problems. From our perspective, bonding social capital represents a social value or community norm that, if accompanied by a specific set of attitudes and skills, and this, of course, relates back to the theory of planned behavior, attitudes and skills and social norms, empowers communities to elevate the quality of community life, including positive outcomes related to health and well-being. The ability to engage in such matters at both the individual and community levels. Both individuals and communities can be characterized as more or less capable of working together toward community goals or solving community problems. In practice, both individuals and communities have some responsibility for creating the bonding social capital. Fundamentally, people who are able to work effectively within a community and communities with a core of people who possess these skills are more prepared to build healthy communities. So the overarching idea is based on the social capital literature, but we are also developed and guided by the theory of planned behavior, as you will see by our main concepts. We, in conjunction with this, are developing a scale that we call the engaging differences scale, which is a scale that concerns how prepared and available individuals are to deal with problems that arise in differences that stem from gender, racial, or religious differences. But that one did not get accepted for APHA, so we're not going to talk about that today. So basically, the scale in itself consists of three subscales: social norms, personal attitudes, and what we call skill-based self-efficacy. As you can see, the background in this comes from classical health education theory, both the theory of planned behavior and the health belief model. And the inclusion of the skill-based self-efficacy subscale is particularly unique about this from these kinds of instruments. All in all, it's 26 items. We've been playing with it back and forth and trying out different analyses. It's trimmed down from originally from 32 items. So a sample item of skill-based self-efficacy would be a question such as, how confident are you that you can participate in a community meeting? How confident are you that you can organize and run a community meeting, or make a public speech, or write an effective letter to a government official, newspaper, or organization, or create a plan to address a community issue or problem? Those are just a few of the 12 items that assess skill-based self-efficacy. This is our initial validation, and we of course need to do more work. We need to try and work with different samples and conduct some other analyses as well. But this initial data validation was based on a survey that we collected in the spring of 2013. Participants were students in grades 9-12 that were part of a university community science pipeline program called HISTA, or which stands for the Health Sciences and Technology Academy, which is a pipeline program that supports disadvantaged youth throughout West Virginia. So it's a selective sample in that sense, but the participants are individuals that we would ideally want to be a part of community efforts down the stretch. A little over 550 individuals, females in majority, and our racial composition of this sample is quite diverse, given that West Virginia is about 96% white. So we have a little more variance there, or quite a bit more variance there than generally from the state. So the combined scale and basically the subscales are all very promising to begin with, both with regards to skew and the tail and the peak end of the curve. No stats are really concerning with regards to the distributional properties. Kronbach's alpha is pretty tight. Maybe this reflects that some items may miss out from the scale. We have to test that further and look at other populations as well. But thus far, these are pretty promising statistics. Exploratory factor analyses show very kind of coherent and similar results. three scales for the combined, and the each individual subscale has a solid score with eigenvalues around 5 and above, up to 7.6 for self-efficacy, and explained variance between 63% and 72%. So no really real concerns there. We did some preliminary convergent and divergent analyses and looked at the correlation for with the sense of community index, and so far that is also relatively strong with the total scale correlating to 0.56 with the whole community engagement scale. Others are a little less, and social norms particularly so, which is not unexpected given the nature of the questions. So the scale has some promising initial applications for program evaluation. This scale would be to provide a method of measuring participant changes in the attitudes and skills that support or mediate increased community engagement behaviors. For instance, this instrument may be used by civic engagement or service learning programs whose goals are associated with increasing the likelihood of future community engagement. And for research, is to provide a method for educational and or social behavioral health researchers to measure levels of attitudes, intentions, and skill-based self-efficacy related to community engagement. Theoretically, high levels of engagement contribute to community-level success and well-being, although either distinct from or a subcomponent of social capital, which is kind of a secondary issue. A higher prevalence of community engagement in a given community should be positively associated with higher levels of social capital and various health outcomes within that community. Our next steps are to finish these analyses, conduct measurement and structural invariance analyses, and some further convergent and divergent analyses. We plan to, or we have actually started writing this up, but we need to do further work with different samples in order to look at generalizability more. In particular, to work with adult samples and look at this in a longitudinal design for test retest purposes and others. For detailed questions, please contact my colleague. I can probably answer a few relatively simple ones. Thank you very much.
Again, another on-time talk, so we have 4 or 5 minutes left.
So, thank you. It's early development, and I understand that. Have you and your colleagues looked at the content of curricular validity checks at this point in time, or is that to be expected in the future?
No, we have not in this point in time, but that's a very good question, and we will, because it is in many ways directed towards school communities, so absolutely. I can share them with you just afterwards. All right. Yes. Absolutely. Oh, I'm sorry. She asked about sample items for the other subscale. I only showed sample items for the self-efficacy subscale, but she was asking about further items from the other two scales, and I can of course provide them. Yes.
Are you trying to focus it on the school population?
No. Well, yes and no. We believe that it will have wider implications because the questions are constructed in such a way. You know, when you go into communities, there are local champions everywhere that are not necessarily part of some formalized network of either, governmental or officials in any way. And we believe that such measures with community members, or the driving community members, is going to be very important. But that's something down the line, and certainly will be important. Yeah. So for planned behavior, really. Right. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm going to have to direct you to my colleague for that, but I just don't want to. Right. Thank you. Yeah. Good point. Thanks.